Well, it's very fun to try to put together a homily that someone, you, will find interesting and edifying, and to try to link that back to the gospel. Now, today's gospel lesson is a very familiar one for those of you who pay attention and listen, and I know that's all of you. It's called The Rich Young Ruler. So a real brief synopsis of it. Jesus is apparently walking along with his disciples, and a rich young ruler approaches and says, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" All right? And Jesus says, "Well, you know the law. What do you have to do?" And the fellow says, "Well, you know, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal." He names five of them. And Jesus says, "You have answered right. Go and do these things." And the fellow says, "Well, I've done all of that. I've done that, right?" And Jesus says, "Okay, you lack one thing. Since you're a rich young man, you need to sell everything that you've got and give it away to the poor and come and follow me." It's an interesting response. Now, this is one of the few times that Jesus actually invited someone personally to come and follow him. There are a couple of instances where someone wanted to follow him, and Jesus said, "No, I love you, basically, but you need to go back and witness to your community." I'm thinking of the demoniac that Jesus healed when he got off the boat after crossing the Sea of Galilee, right? The guy came out of the tombs. The famous line, "Who are you? My name is Legion, for we are many," right? Jesus heals the guy, and then the guy wants to go with him, and Jesus says, "No, no, you need to go, for whatever reason, you need to go back into the town and witness there. We're going to go on without you," right? But this guy, he says, "No, I want you to come and follow me." So if you go back and you read this, it seems like he's saying, "Oh, well, we need to sell everything and give to the poor, and basically we all must become monastics." I don't think that's the total point that he's making. Rather, I think the distinction he's making, and I have nothing against monastics, I have the highest regard for the monastic orders, male and female, by the way, the highest regard, that is perhaps the highest path towards the Lord our God. Now, it is not necessarily the only path, okay, not the only path, but it is certainly the highest. Okay, nevertheless, so sell everything you've got and give to the poor. Basically, what Christ is talking about here is the distinction between the external, like following the commandments, and the internal, what is in your heart, right? And it makes a difference, okay? Let me change gears. I played football in high school, believe that as you may. I actually had good hands. I've talked about that before. I could really catch the ball. I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the most aggressive guy, but I loved the camaraderie. I didn't like getting hit, but I could take a hit, you know? You could hit me and I'd get back up. I didn't really like it, though. Some of the guys that played defense, they liked hitting people. I never understood that, but they liked hitting people. And actually, I think the hits are harder on the person doing the hitting than they are on the person getting hit, by and large. Because I didn't get hit that much, but if I'm tackling somebody every single play, then it's like I'm getting hit. But I digress. I had a car, right? And I had to drive to practice. And this was a used car that Dad got for me. It was an old Volkswagen Rabbit, if you guys remember those things. It was what we used to call a straight drive, or if you're not from the South, that means a manual shift, right? It was a manual shift. And it was a fun little car, like all Volkswagens, when it ran, right? It was like a Volkswagen. You never can trust these things. They're great when they go, but they're not always real reliable. Well, this thing had a fuel gauge that was not accurate. I mean, I knew there was gas in there, but kind of how much gas? Well, you never were really sure according to the gauge. You had to just kind of guess. Well, one time I was late for practice. I'm heading there. I knew I was close to running out of gas, and doggone it, I did. That thing, the gauge said there was gas, but there was no gas in there, and I was late for practice. Well, if any of you have ever played sports, you know what happens when you're late for practice. That usually means you've got a lot of extra running to do. Oh, Lord have mercy. Did we run and run and run? And then after practice, you got to run some more by yourself. That was really, ugh. Okay, so the difference between what was really in the tank, right? What's really in your heart versus what the gauge is showing us, right? Now, none of us can judge anyone else. I think we can barely understand what's in our own heart. It takes us a lifetime to figure that out. Now, God can see us, but we can't see anyone else, right? Even our family, those that we love and grow up with, we know them the best of all. Don't fall to the temptation to judge your family members or really anyone else, because you just don't know. You don't know what's going on in their hearts, what's happened to them, what happened to them when they were growing up when you weren't there to see it, right? You just don't know. We don't know. Christ knows. But so when this young man comes up and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Christ says, "Well, observe the law." And the young man rightly said, "I have done this." And he didn't say that with pride. He didn't say that with overconfidence. If you go back and look at some of the other descriptions of this passage, it says that Christ loved the man. Christ loved him, right? So he said, okay, you need one thing more. You need to realize that there's the law, and then there's something above the law. And that is your heart. That is your heart. And it doesn't obviate or get rid of the need for external observance of the law, or like we might say today, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, of coming to church. No, these things are good. And some people will say, well, I don't need that. That's just rote. It's automatic. It makes me a robot. You would be surprised if you force yourself to come to church, to say prayers at home in the morning or in the evening or both, if you can do it. Doesn't matter how long they are. Even a short prayer works. If you can force yourself to get into the habit, your body, the external, can train the internal. It works. It takes patience and it takes practice, but it works. If you train yourself to do something physically over time, it will stick up here and in here, whether it's to avoid bad language or looking at things or saying things, whatever. It works. But ultimately, the higher worth is what's inside your heart. The love, the peace, the joy, the forgiveness, the trust and faith in God. The trust and faith in God. I looked around the Thanksgiving table this week, and I was saddened because there are chairs that are empty. There are loved ones who weren't there. My mother and father weren't there. And now my mother-in-law and my father-in-law aren't there. Now, there are other people there. New people have shown up rather recently or not so recently. So there are new chairs. But in my mind, I look around and I sense their absence. And I know I'm not the only one. They're not there. Now, they're at the heavenly table. I trust and I believe in that. But still, in all my selfishness, they're not there with me. And it hurts, right? But that's our challenge. We hold on to God in faith and love. We trust in Him, there with Him, and He will be with us. And we have joy and we have grief at the same time. And we accept that. We accept that. We accept the grief that they're not here. We accept the joy for those who are here and who will be if we look forward to marriages and children and grandchildren. We all do. We accept the joy and the grief, and we don't let the grief overwhelm the joy, because that's when we get into trouble. That's when we fall into despair, into depression. And then we do things to try to alleviate the depression with alcohol or chocolate or you name it, right? Gambling. That's where we get into trouble. So keep them in balance in the knowledge that God loves you and He wants the best for you and He has a plan for you. So we hold on to the joy and the grief at the same time. And if we do that, and it seems impossible for us, and it is, but as the gospel lesson ended today, what's impossible for us to hold joy and grief in balance is possible with God. So trust Him, and He will help you daily go through it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.